This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly, and on the show today I'll be talking with two representatives of the Community Arts Resource based in St. Joseph, but their summer band and summer chorus are both open to anybody in the area who wants to appear. We'll hear details about both coming up shortly. And then live in our studio, we have a little cabaret performance going on with vocalist Jeff Poor and pianist David Thies. They're going to be giving a cabaret show of sorts in at the Krannert Center Thursday night, part of the Uncorked program. That's at 5 o'clock on Thursday. And they're with us live. Second half of our show today. Hope you'll stay with us. That was a performance of selections from the musical Chicago by the Cartoons Summer Band from the Community Arts Resource in St. Joseph last summer. I think I have that information correct. And with us to correct me or corroborate me and tell you lots more about the Community Arts Resource and also this year's Summer Band and this year's Summer Chorus are Ross Bundy, who's president of the board for the Community Arts Resource, and also Tom Moore, director of the chorus. Thank you, gentlemen, very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Why don't you bring your microphone there a little closer, Ross? Sorry, I should have told you that sooner. So you did tell me that was last year's band, right?
No, I'm afraid it's not.
It's not.
I apologize. That's a
you
piece that we planned to
that.
Do this year.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I brought two selections from the band, and those are both pieces that we plan to do in one of our upcoming concerts.
Okay, so who do we hear?
I don't know.
It could be. So well, it sounded awfully good.
Yeah.
So I was thinking if that was the summer band, that was really fine. I should just pay more attention to what people tell me in advance, I guess. In any event, well, it sounds like a fun tune for them to work on. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the community. Well, you've told me before, but tell our listeners again about the Community Arts Resource, assuming that some are hearing about it for the first time.
Okay. So our group, the Community Arts Resource, is a group that promotes the arts in East Central Illinois. So we don't limit ourselves necessarily just to Champaign County, but we're definitely bigger than St. Joe. So we try to have different activities. We have a jazz band that we sponsor during the year, a summer band that we do during the summer, a summer chorus, which Tom is here representing today, and other arts activities as we see them. Most of them have been music, but we're certainly open to doing other things as well.
Music in this case has included the summer band for what?
This is our third summer? Year. Yes, third summer.
And it's the second for the chorus?
It's the second for the chorus, correct. Very good.
And Tom, were you doing the chorus last year?
I didn't. This is my first year with the Community Arts Resource.
So it's very exciting for you then.
Very, very.
Yeah, and how did you get roped into this?
Well, I was teaching music in St. Joe this year, and Ross sent me an email about meetings that they were having, and so I went to one, and then I was cornered and asked if I could direct the chorus.
Isn't that the way it works? Is that?
Well, somebody must have thought you're doing a decent enough job with the schools. Which school are you at, or schools?
I was at St. Joseph Middle School.
You said were.
Were, yes. I'm no longer going to be teaching there, but still very involved with music, doing the chorus this summer as well.
So what's involved in getting into either the summer chorus or the summer band?
It's very easy. You can register online at our website. It's communityartsresource.org. Or you can give me a call directly. My number is area code 217-590-4311. And we'll get you registered one that way. Where our rehearsals are once a week. The band meets on Tuesdays, the chorus on Thursdays. We meet at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in St. Joe. That's where we do our rehearsals, although our concerts are all over the county, and in fact, we have one in Danville this year as well. There's a $25 registration fee, which includes a T-shirt, for each group. And did I miss anything? I think that's it in a nutshell. We have four concerts this year. We're really excited.
Four concerts for both band and chorus?
We always do our concerts together.
Oh, good. Okay.
And so we'll play the same nights, days, whatever. Our first one is this Saturday, so it's coming up very fast. We have a short program. But
have you had rehearsals yet?
We've had two rehearsals. And so we bring back a few pieces from last year and a few easier pieces that we plan to perform. We'll bring out the complicated stuff as the season goes on. But yes, it's this Saturday. We kick off the Ogden Community Festival at noon. We'll be playing right in the park right next to the Village Hall in Ogden, starting at noon.
So this will include both the chorus and?
And the band.
And the band. So have you had rehearsals yet, Tom?
I've had one, and then I have one tomorrow evening.
And that's it?
That's it. But we had our first rehearsal last Thursday, and it went extremely well. I was very happy with how the first rehearsal went. So,
how many folks have you gotten the chorus so far?
We have
about 15.
Yeah, about 15.
And you're open to more, presumably after this week.
Certainly. Well, I'd be open to more this week if we could get them.
So is there any audition involved? I would think that's something that folks would want to know.
No, we've always felt that we didn't want to have auditions because one of our big goals is to make, as an organization, Community Arts Resources, to make the arts accessible. So we felt that if we had auditions, we'd actually scare people away. Although many of our players are exceptional players, we have many of them are teachers, retired military band, students from the university who are majoring in music. So we have an excellent group of people. We also have some very young people. Normally we only take high school and adults. But if we have a really good player, then we'll actually take them earlier. In fact, one person that we have is only 12 is playing with our band. I think the youngest in the choir is probably about 16.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people shouldn't be afraid about the possibility
No.
of coming in because No. they can just appear. And in the case of the chorus, do you just trust them to say, I'm a soprano, alto, tenor, or bass, or do you want to at least hear to some corroboration for what they actually say they are?
As far as right now, since we are a little low on the numbers, we've just kind of went with it. And after our first rehearsal, everybody was sounding well where they said they should be. So I was very happy with what was happening if somebody came in and said, I'm a soprano, and then was just
a tenor.
Looking stressed, singing those notes, then we might have to have a little chat about it. But as far as people coming in and, you know, adults are pretty knowledgeable about what they're capable of, so we've been trustful so far.
I remember I did an audition once in Chicago as a bass baritone, and the auditioner for the Chicago Symphony Chorus says, who told you were a baritone? I said, what do you mean, who told me? You sound like a tenor. I said, I don't think I'm going to be singing any of those high notes, please. Thank you very much. And I didn't either. So you just never know. Even I maintain that this guy who was the associate conductor of the chorus and ought to know didn't in this case. But I'm sure Tom can identify one way or another. So if somebody wants to jump in on this last rehearsal before Saturday's quickie concert, where do they go and when for the chorus, Tom?
It's going to be in the same location in St. Joseph at the Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, and we rehearse from 6:30 to 8. Do you have an exact...
On which day?
Thursday,
so tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have an exact address for the Lutheran Church?
I don't
Church?
Have the address.
They
can
Google that,
yes.
I'm
yeah,
sure.
It's, definitely. It's,
but tomorrow from 6 to 8, just show up.
6:30 to 8.
6:30
yeah.
to 8,
well,
thank you very much.
People can show up at 6, so then know they'll be there at 6:30.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be helpful.
And they can
you.
Always go to our website. The address, all the information is on our website.
There's tons of information on that website. Somebody's been very diligent.
Very thorough.
Yeah, and I saw that, Ross is the webmaster, so yeah. There's lots of info on there, including some really interesting information about the band, which maybe we'll talk about in a little bit. But I wanted to play one of the tunes that's going to be on this Saturday's concert, or at least that you're working on.
We are going
for an
to be working
concert.
On this one. It probably won't be sung at this Saturday's concert, We didn't get to it in our one rehearsal, so I'm probably not going to try and squeeze that one in. But it is I'm looking forward to starting it, though.
It's kind of a tricky. It's a madrigal by Thomas Morley called Fire, Fire, My Heart, and then goes on from there. And this is an interesting recording. It's made by what was one of the pioneering early music singing groups at the time. Now they, to me, they sound a little odd, but nonetheless, it's the Deller Consort, led by Alfred Deller, who is the countertenor in this performance, Fire, Fire, My Heart, of Thomas Morley. One of the pieces you can learn if you join the summer chorus from the Community Arts Resource. Hearing about it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. The Deller Consort, Fire, Fire, by Thomas Morley. Heard here on Illinois Public Media, Live and Local is the name of the show. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your performance connection. And a performance happening this Saturday is by the combined, well, the separate forces of the Summer Band and Summer Chorus from the Community Arts Resource based in St. Joseph. The concert's going to be in Ogden at the Village Hall, part of the Ogden Community Festival concert. And these two groups will start things off at noon this Saturday. And there's a few other concerts they're giving as well over the course of the summer. And as we're learning today, you, if you are an instrumentalist or a singer, can join either, or I suppose both, of these organizations if you want. Programs on WYLL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting the community to the return of Outside at the Research Park on Friday, July 8th at 7:30 p.m., featuring Del Castillo. More information is at krannertcenter.com. And Ross Bundy mentioned that there will be a concert in Danville for the two CAR groups, C-A-R, for Community Arts Resource, on the 24th of July. But there's also one preceding that in the Homer Village Hall, or behind the Homer Village Hall in the park, on the 4th of July, an Independence Day concert. And then at the end of the season, where they hope to be playing that suite from the musical Chicago that we started the show off with. That'll be in the mid-August, 14th, in Mahomet at the Early American Museum. And Ross, you were just telling me as we were listening to that music that you have this particular couple of ambitions for your concert in Danville with the municipal band on the 24th of July.
That's right. So we're really excited about the opportunity to play with the Danville Municipal Band. We're going to do a joint concert with them. So they're going to play part of the program. We'll play part of the program. And then we'll actually combine part of the program. If we can, I'm hoping that we can increase the size of the chorus. The chorus is also going to sing. It would be nice if one of our last pieces actually combined the two bands, so we'd be close to 100 members at that point, along with a chorus. But in order to do that, we need a larger chorus, otherwise the band will overrun them.
And you can't just sprinkle a whole bunch of microphones throughout the chorus. And...
Yeah, we could do that, but yeah, it would be less effective, I think, than just having a bigger chorus would be the preferable way.
So. Which, is, of course, a big part of the reason you guys are here.
That's right.
To get more people to sign up. Tom Moore is director of the chorus, summer chorus. Any particular voices you're especially looking for?
All of them. Gentlemen are always welcome. We have three, I think, right now.
Three guys.
Ross being one of them. And they actually have fantastic sound, and they blend very well with the ladies. But unfortunately, we are limited to SAB arrangements right now. I'd really start to breaking out into SATB, and more guys would be necessary to do that. But women are also welcome. I will not say no.
I'd say I'm actually surprised, because, Ross, you sound like you'd be a tenor.
I am a tenor, yeah.
So you can't hold down the tenor part on your own?
No, that's right. Some of those bass parts get a little low, but oh, you know, a nice thing, SAB is normally written for a baritone, you know, so it's a medium range.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. And as we mentioned, people don't need to be afraid of any audition process, because there isn't any. It's if you think you can sing, you can show up and do it. I was reading on the website for the Community Arts Resource, Ross, some interesting comments on the band, the membership, how it's sort of configured. It said something about you show up and pick your seat, and there's no official principal players or something like that. Do you want to flesh that out?
Correct. We're pretty open with our seating arrangements. So because there are no additions, we don't really make assignments who plays what which part. So we let the players self-select. And usually what happens is that they rotate. So one person will play first part on one piece, another player will play first part on another piece. So that way also, if people just aren't comfortable playing a particular part, they can say, you know, I really don't want a first part, I'd rather have a third part. But everybody gets a chance at a solo, everybody gets a chance at a first part, you know, everybody gets to choose what they want to do.
And Justin Lee, who's the band director, had hoped to be with us, but is not able to today. I suppose he would have some final say in this. But suppose somebody comes in and says, oh, I want to play the first part on this piece and really can't.
Yeah, Justin will step in. He has done that, but it's pretty rare. Our experience has been the same as Tom's, that, you know, most of the people know what their limitations are, and they work well within what they perceive as their limitations.
So it's kind of an egalitarian group, which sounds like a lot of fun. Any particular instruments that Justin's looking for to fill out the band, you know?
Well, every year's slightly different, so we never know what we'll need, usually until about the first rehearsal or two. This year in particular, we really need trumpets. If we could, and a lead solo trumpet would be a key, I think, for us still. We have somebody that's coming in for the first concert to help us out, but we'd like somebody permanent with the group. And a few more trumpets on top of that. So trumpets would be the number one concern. The number two concern is percussionists. We have two, but we could really fill out that section. Some of our percussion parts, we could take up to, I think, six players on some of the pieces that we'd like to do. But either way, two is just not enough. We're too thin if somebody goes on vacation, which we're also very open to. You know, if people need to miss rehearsals or concerts because of vacation, then that's fine. But in order for us to do that, we really need a few extra players on every part to cover things. So percussionists, trumpets, percussionists, and then a few more saxes would be great.
Hmm. So some of the staples, but you sound like you're okay for woodwinds for the most part.
We have seven clarinets, eight flutes, a piccolo. So we've got the high woodwind section covered pretty well. And the low brass is just phenomenal. We have six trombones, five baritone euphoniums, two tubas, bass trombone, five French horns. So, you know, our lower brass section is just incredible, but it's that high brass and the saxes where we were still hurting.
Well, that sounds like you're pretty well fleshed out, so that's good. Well, Tom, what other kinds of pieces besides the madrigal we heard are you working on this summer?
We are doing an arrangement of Summertime by Gershwin, which I'm pretty excited about. We started that last week, and it sounds pretty good. And then we are just doing an interesting suite called Earth Voices by Jerry Estes. It just goes through three different pieces of nature. For instance, the first part is called The Wind. The second part is called The Rain, and I believe the third part is The Sun. Excuse me, but it just has three short little pieces with very nice piano accompaniment that just kind of go through trying to give the feeling of these three different things of nature. So there's some pretty nice pieces in there. They're a little bit on the easier side because I didn't know what I was coming into, but we sight read through pretty much everything last Thursday, so we have a very solid base, and I'm looking forward to hopping on the internet and finding some more difficult things to get us through the rest of the summer.
And I'm sure looking forward to hopping on the website and finding that all these people who've been listening to this program want to sign up to be in the chorus, which would be a good thing for you, I'm sure.
Definitely.
Ross Bundy, president of the Community Arts Resource, and Tom Moore, who's conducting the summer chorus. And we haven't actually given the name here. Singing in the Chorus, it says here. Somebody, folks over there are very good with messing around with the acronym for Community Arts Resource, and then the Cartoons Summer Band. Both of them are participating in the Ogden Community Festival concert this Saturday starting at noon in the park east of the Ogden Village Hall, and then subsequent concerts in July and August. For more information, go to communityartsresource.org. Ross and Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. No problem.
And here's another tune that is slated for the August concert with the band. It's John Philip Sousa's Fairest of the Fair. Stay tuned for a live several songs or a few songs in our studio with vocalist Jeff Poor and pianist Dave Thies, who will be at the Krannert Center's Krannert Uncorked program on Thursday. It's live and local on FM 90.9. Music by John Philip Sousa here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And in case you didn't hear that, because I heard it myself just fade up in the headphones, that was music by John Philip Sousa. And hope you can consider participating in the Community Arts Resources Chorus and Band if you are in the sound of my voice. That's happening in St. Joseph with the first concert this Saturday. Happening on Thursday at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts is their mostly weekly Uncorked program, in which there's always some alcohol available from various vendors in our community, but perhaps more interesting for our listeners, or at least as interesting for our listeners, there's always some live music. And we have this Thursday's performers in the studio with us right now with vocalist Jeff Poor and pianist David Thies. And I have met David before. I know him to be a lawyer, and I know that he has been heavily involved in years past with the Champaign-Urbana Symphony. And I knew that you played piano, but other than that, I just gave the extent of my knowledge about David Thies. And Jeff, I've known more intimately, in a way, through your work at Glenn Poor's Audio, which was started by your dad, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
Whose name was?
Glenn Poor.
And how
still
about
is,
that?
Actually.
And it still is. And I know you're involved, you have a store up in Chicago and are involved with a particular audio company. And I've heard that you sing. I've heard other people say that you sing.
It's a rumor.
Some call it singing.
That's some right. call
and,
it singing.
Well, we're gonna attempt to substantiate that rumor here in a little bit. And you guys seem to be a duo that gets together with some regularity, or at least occasionally.
Yeah, well, we are limited by the fact David likes to play only acoustic grand piano. So that's
and what a
that's
treat a, today! This acoustic yet, grand piano in front of me. This
and
is
yet here he
radio,
is on the grand Yamaha Clavinova.
It's a wonderful piano.
Now, I think I've actually seen you at a Rotary meeting, David, playing a clunker-ish upright.
I have been known to do that. That's actually where Jeff and I not first met, but where we first came up with the idea. Jeff actually had the idea of doing standards and Great American Songbook stuff, and it was because we're both in the Champaign Rotary Club and have participated in the music programs there, which are very casual and but a lot of fun, and it sort of morphed into this other project.
So how long have you mixed piano playing and lawyering?
Never hopefully mixed the two, but I've been doing both music all my life. I was originally a student of Lester Van Tress, which some of your listeners will be remembered, and then went on through the university and played with Bron Elston and U of I jazz people from back in the 60s and 70s, always just as an avocation. It's not what I do. And then I started practicing law in the 1980s.
So you were more of a jazz pianist and others?
I had always had an interest in jazz and played, and when I was in school in the middle 70s, Ron Elston was on faculty, and I took jazz piano. I have to say that the performing that I did was more the rock and roll and, you know, anything that would pay the bills, because it's what I used to get through school. But I had always had a jazz interest, which is what Jeff also has. That was really what we had in common.
Yeah, I put myself through school singing in rock bands, so...
And
I started when I was 15, I guess, professionally. I got my first check when I was 15.
So. And you guys are both originally from here or around here, aren't you?
Yeah, we're both U of I grads. Yeah.
And grew up in Urbana, so we...
That's right. Back in the... We're Urbana boys.
Are there bands that, names of which people might remember that you were involved with?
Yeah.
You want to confess to?
Yeah, well, The Intruders was the first band that I joined, and... I was the young guy. They didn't realize how young I was. What happened was their lead singer wanted more of the take than an even split, so he quit right before they were going to open for Jerry Lee Lewis, and so they held tryouts, and Bryce Creighton told me to go try out for some reason. So I did, and I passed the audition. So
you were actually how old?
15.
Oh, that was, yeah. That was
and they were all 18 and 19 and 20.
Well, that's a big difference at that age.
Yeah. Well, they didn't know at the time. They found out later when I couldn't drive. but anyway, that's that. I've always had a love of music because my mother was a singer and my dad was a real jazz fan. So we always had music playing in the house. And so I thought all singers were supposed to sound like Frank Sinatra and all female singers were supposed to sound like Ella Fitzgerald. That's just sort of what I thought. After I got into the hi-fi, you know, gig, so to speak, I found out that they were at the top of the game. So most singers just can't do that. And we don't try to do that, actually. We try to, our whole thing, I think, is to honor the songwriters and the songs and the meaning of the songs. And that's what was, I think, so great about that era, the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, and into the early 60s. But we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, noticing just a while back that the tribute bands that are out there today, if it's a tribute band or a revival of a certain music from the 70s, it's usually about the performer. It's the Beatles tribute band or the Stones tribute band or something like that. But if you go back before that, often, although the performers are remembered and even people like Frank Sinatra and Ella Fitzgerald are great performers, but you talk more about the Cole Porter and the George Gershwin and the people who were writing the music. And I think that's a culture shift that has happened.
And it's
fun to go back and really focus on the music.
I think it's tragic, actually, that whole art form has sort of been left in the dust. I think, you know, when you think about those great Tin Pan Alley songwriters, and then of course, when it went into the late 50s and the doo-wop era, and you got the Brill Building songwriters and the Carole Kings and the Jerry Goffins and Lieber and Stoller and Doc Pomus and all those people, they carried on that tradition, but it was for pop and rock music. But what happened with the singer-songwriters, and I guess we can blame the Beatles for this, but blame or praise the Beatles for this, everything changed. There was a seismic change. I mean, you had to be a songwriter to be a rock performer by the late 60s. And I think what happened is it sort of left real songwriters, people that were into that craft, it kind of left them out in the cold, so to speak. They all went into the movie business.
Meaning songwriters who didn't themselves sing their own songs.
Yeah.
They just made their business writing songs and letting other people do it.
I mean, Sinatra, I mean, I didn't realize how good he was until I started listening to him about 10 years ago because of my father-in-law. Bobby Eisner turned me on to Sinatra, and our youngest daughter was really into Sinatra too. And I started listening to him on good hi-fi systems, and I did not realize how great of a singer he was prior to that, because when I was a kid, it was kind of like, that's just a voice, you know. But he, as great a singer as he was, I mean, he never pretended to be a songwriter. He picked great songs.
Did he ever write any songs?
He wrote a couple. He had contributed to a couple songs. He did that.
One about his daughter.
Yeah, the song about Nancy with a smiling face.
Mm. Laughing face, yeah.
But, you know, he said he'd rather leave songwriting to songwriters.
Well, I mean, you got to know your limitations.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
which I think one of you just said a little earlier.
Yeah, I think we're all, yeah, the Clint Eastwood thing.
Which is?
A man's got to know his limitations, Kevin.
Oh, see, you're out of my element here. I've seen, I'm trying to think what Clint Eastwood movies I've seen that he didn't direct. So,
great lover of jazz.
That's another.
Yeah, he's
great.
He's
I know he loved jazz, yeah.
Yeah, he's a real jazz fan. Well, actually, he's a jazz pianist, too.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
He's written jazz.
And well, I'll have to see if I can get him on the show here.
Yeah, see what we can do about that.
But until then, we have with us Jeff Poor and Dave Theis. What would you like to do for us first?
Let's do a real familiar number that it's kind of an ironic thing.
Well, it is.
Will we know it?
I think you will.
Yeah. And who wrote this song, David?
Rodgers and Hart.
That's right. This is a Rodgers and Hart song. This was Sinatra recorded this in 1957, and it was part of the movie Pal Joey. She gets too hungry for dinner at 8. She likes the theater, but she never comes late. She'll never bother with people she hates. That's why the lady is a tramp. She'll do no crap games with barons or earls. And she won't go to Harlem dressed in ermine and pearls. And she won't dish the dirt with the rest of the girls. That is why that lady is a tramp. She likes the free, fresh wind in her hair. Life without care. She's broke, but it's oak. She hates California. It's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. She gets too hungry to wait for dinner at 8. And she loves the theater. That's why she never goes late. And she'll never bother with people she hates. Ooh, that is why that lady is a tramp. She doesn't like dice games with sharpies and fruds. And she won't go to Harlem driving Lincolns or Fords. And she won't dish the dirt with the rest of the broads. Hey, that is why that lady is a tramp. She loves the free, fresh wind in her hair. Life without care. She is broke, but it's oak. Hates California, 'cause it's too cold and too damp. That's why the lady is a tramp.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I do know that song. I have heard that song. no introduction required, I guess. And not least because I could understand your words.
That's actually an interesting part of that song that until we were playing it, I never picked up on, that the guy's describing someone who is so cool that she's not cool. She loves the theater, but people who are in a false kind of way cool come late, but she won't come late. Because she loves it so much, same, and that's what the story's about.
Mm. Jeff, you mentioned Sinatra a number of times, and this you kind of started to realize, oh, he was pretty good not that long ago. And I have to admit that I've had kind of a hot and cold reaction to Sinatra over the years, where sometimes, you know, I think, well, his voice was okay. And interpretations, well, he sings it really clearly. But I guess to some degree, the fact that he sings and expresses things so clearly is a big part of his interpretation. What do you find so admirable about?
Well, that, and I also wondered, I mean, obviously, you know, people always talk about his phrasing. Yeah. You know, he's a master phraser, but he also had an amazing voice. His vocal range was incredible. I mean, he had a very wide range, and he started off back when he started singing with the Harry James Band. He started off as a high tenor, and he worked himself into being a baritone, because that was the style that really allowed men to whisper to women, so to speak, you know, sing intimately to women. So he became a baritone over time. But I was always curious as to why I could listen to him for hours, say, you know, a number of songs, whereas other singers that I admired, I just got tired of quickly. And so I did a real-time analysis of voices. And Sinatra's voice touches more harmonics than other very popular singers, a lot more harmonics. And I think that's interesting. Sarah Vaughan was another one that touched a lot of harmonics.
Now, what does that mean?
That means that, you know, obviously middle C is middle C, but what separates middle C on a certain keyboard or a certain horn instrument or whatever are the harmonics that are created by the instrument. And that means the upper harmonics and the lower harmonics. So if let's say Sinatra's singing an E above middle C, he will touch higher and lower harmonics than the average singer by a lot. So if you're looking at a real-time analysis, and I'm doing this like we're on TV. In other words, instead of touching harmonics in this range, this being frequency range,
and it's this, like, by this, his hands are, you know, like a foot apart.
Yeah. So instead of this, it's like this.
And now they're 2 feet apart.
Yeah. And that is what I think makes him so interesting to listen to. Plus, obviously his interpretation was impeccable. And Tony Bennett's another singer that when he's on, he's amazing too. So we listened to all these different artists, but Dave and I expressly from the very beginning really wanted to try to do our own thing. So,
well, I hope so. It's really hard to, I mean, you can't exactly be Sinatra. Or,
no, and I don't want to try, because yeah. It's nobody can be.
Also, the act that we do, we call a cabaret act.
Yeah.
And it's not just about the music, although we love the music, but the cabaret style of singing, which was, when you look at Sinatra, more in the early days, when people would sing in the supper clubs of New York, which involved more of an intimacy between the performer and the audience. You can't do it today in the big arenas, but in a small room where you have a great performer and a band that's backing them up, you can have an interaction. You can have people saying things to you and enjoying it in a way that allows the performer to draw energy from the people in the crowd, and that's part of what we do. Today, Kevin, you're it. You're the guy across the room from us.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And I want to tell you, I'm drawing a lot of energy from you right at this moment. It's really great.
I'm pouring it out here, man. I'm just pouring
it
out.
But in a big crowd.
Well, I heard David. David's a pretty rowdy drinker, so I'll bet tomorrow when he comes to the Cranard, he'll be really into
the whole thing.
Well, I'm going to show up just to find that out. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9, a conversation with Jeff Poor and Dave Theis, who are going to be giving their cabaret thing at the Cranert Center in their Uncorked program tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Where does that typically go? For about an hour or so?
2 hours.
Oh, is it 2 hours?
Yeah, which for us is about 34 or 35 songs.
That's a lot of songs.
We have to crowd a bunch in.
Yeah, well, the more you talk, you know, then the less you have to sing, depending upon how
that's right.
How you feel. Well, this is the final month of our membership year here at Illinois Public Media. We are close to reaching our goal of $2.1 million. And, of course, no individual can write that check, though we would certainly hope they could. Actually, maybe somebody can, and if you'd like to, we'd be happy to receive it. But nonetheless, we can still reach the goal with lots of smaller checks. If you have received a letter asking you to renew or make an additional gift, we hope you'll respond as generously as you can, as soon as you can. as long as it's before June 30th. Your contribution before that date will certainly have a powerful impact on the programs, such as this one, that you hear all next year, starting July 1st. Our fiscal year starts July 1st, and we are supposed to have the money in the bank by then so that we can spend it responsibly. Go on our website. It's will.illinois.edu or willpledge.org. What do we have next, Jeff?
Well, I think we'll do an intimate song.
Slow it down a bit.
Yeah. This is the title cut to Sinatra's album from 1955, which a lot of music historians think is his greatest concept record.
I have a guess for what it's going to be. I'm going to see if I'm right.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole wide world is fast asleep, you lie awake and think about the girl, and never ever think of counting sheep. When the lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you miss her most of all. When your lonely heart has learned its lesson, you'd be hers if only she would call. In the wee small hours of the morning, that's the time you'll miss her most.
All right, so I was completely wrong. What is that even called?
It's called In the Wee Small Hours.
It is In the Wee Small Hours. Yeah. For some reason, I thought you were going to sing September Song.
Oh, God, that's a great song.
That's a good song, too.
Which, because isn't that the title track of one of his?
Yeah, September of My Years.
Yeah, I mean, I only have like two Sinatra records, and that happens to be one of them. Because, you know, I said I had this this attitude for a long time that I don't really like Sinatra. And then somewhere, for all I know, Jeff, it could have been in your store. I heard some Sinatra tune, and I thought, I love that. What is that from? And it turns out it was from this album, so I went and bought the album, and I bought another album. And so maybe I just found the right ones to suit my taste. I don't know.
He's selling a lot of LPs right now.
You know, I've heard it. I mean, the LP is making a comeback.
Yeah. Well, there are companies like Music Direct in Chicago, which they bought a record company called Mobile Fidelity.
Yeah.
And they are releasing the Sinatra classics from the 50s and also some of the things from Reprise, which was his record label in the 60s. And the pressings are fantastic, and the mastering is just amazing. And all these young bands, I think this is a really cool thing. I mean, David's son, Michael, is part of this company called Polyvinyl. And this is a local record company, and they touch markets all around the world now. Yeah. It's all about analog and vinyl, so it's really cool.
And if you don't have a decent turntable, I'm sure Jeff would be happy to sell you one at Glenport.
This is a non-commercial station, Kevin.
Yeah, that's right. Well, unless, of course, you want to underwrite the program.
We should donate something to this program, actually.
Yeah.
We also do other things that other singers. Sinatra was not the only one, but you have, Jeff, I know, a fascination of Tony Bennett and some of the other folks that are out there that we've...
Yeah, we do a lot of different things. And again, what we've tried to do from the beginning is really honor the song. And there's a song, for instance, by a guy named Delbert McClinton, who's, you know, a great Roadhouse blues singer, that it's my wife's favorite song.
And, what's it called?
Don't Want to Love You Anymore. I'm telling the truth. That's her favorite song.
We don't even want to know why it's her favorite song.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, we've talked about singers. What about pianists, Dave?
Well, that's my fascination as well. And it's not a pianist, although Nelson Riddle probably was a pianist. I'm not sure what his instrument was.
He was a trombone player.
But I am interested in him in particular and the reason he was so good for Sinatra. I was reading just over the weekend an interesting story that Nelson Riddle was the one who figured out how to write the arrangement for in a range that was the opposite of what Sinatra was singing in. So unlike people who had written arrangements for Sinatra before Nelson Riddle came along, where the arrangements were, the notes, the color of the chord was right where Sinatra was singing, Nelson Riddle figured out how to do less and drop it into an area where Sinatra was not singing. And they say that that's one of the reasons the Nelson Riddle arrangements of the Sinatra songs are so great. And that's my opinion. So it's not a pianist exactly, but I am interested that Jeff know that the accompanist is important, and he does.
Yeah, well, I can tell you that David does have a favorite pianist, though.
I do.
And he has a favorite song, too.
Bill Evans, I think, is the greatest.
And the song is?
My Foolish Heart. The arrangement that he did with Tony Bennett at a time probably never would have happened except that Tony Bennett had slowed his career down and it had some problems and it was thinking about going in a different direction. And at that point, Tony Bennett's manager and his son, I think it was the story I've heard, talked him into finding a really, really great jazz piano player and doing a CD that would combine both a great singer with a great jazz piano player. And Bill Evans was the one they selected, and who had been with Miles Davis. And I think in terms of the kind of voicings that we hear in great jazz melodic music today, is the greatest of the piano players. And I that was also the guy I referred to earlier, Ron Elston, who was on the U of I faculty and also played in some of the early Garvey bands at the U of I. He was just very much enamored with Bill Evans, and so passed that on to his students. And
and you learned well.
And we enjoy that.
Well, I want to give you another chance to do one more song.
Okay, before we'll do another one.
You want to guess this one too?
No, you got to give me a hint of some kind.
Give me a hint.
Well, this is a tune by arguably the greatest American songwriter.
No, I have a guess about that one. Yeah, it'll be wrong.
I'll bet you get this one. This is a Cole Porter tune. This was written for his first movie, actually. You know, this was written for Born to Dance, which was back in 1936. I've got you under my skin. I've got you deep in the heart of me. So deep in my heart that you're really a part of me. I've got you under my skin. I tried so not to give in. I even said to myself, this affair, it never will go so well. But why should I try to resist when, baby, I know so well that I got you under my skin. I'd sacrifice anything come what might for the sake of having you near in spite of a warning voice that comes in the night and repeats in my ear. Don't you know you're a fool, you never can win. Use your mentality, wake up to reality. But each time I do, the thought of you makes me stop before I begin, 'cause I got you
under my skin. Yes, I've got you under my skin. And you've grabbed me under my skin.
I don't know why I was going to say Harold Arlen before you said Cole Porter.
Well, he's another one of our favorites. Yeah.
Somewhere Over the Rain. Or, yeah, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And great songs.
Well, one of my favorite moments on this show, actually, and Mike Pritchard, our sound engineer, I suspect won't disagree, is when I got the guitarist Tommy Emmanuel to play Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was just gorgeous.
That's a very, very pretty song.
Yeah, and he does such a wonderful job with it, too.
It's a chick song, but he makes me sing that song.
Somewhere the wrong. Why is it a chick song? Only
it's
because
just a chick
it was
song.
Sung by...
Yeah. Well, you know, you think of it as
Judy Garland.
It's, as a Judy Garland tune, but it's also, you know, just it just has that, it's got that feel, but it's such a pretty song. And
that's a song Jane Monheit has done recently, and current, you know, female
vocalist.
Well,
it never goes away.
Yeah.
Great songs never go away.
That's right. And that's really the key to what we were talking about before, is that those great songwriters, my gosh, the talent that went into writing these tunes. Of course, Irving Berlin couldn't even read music. So,
yeah, that's a pretty amazing. You can explore that in various venues. Well, guys, thank you very much for coming in. And folks can go out and hear Dave Theis and Jeff Poor at the Krannert Center tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock on the Uncorked program from 5 to 7, and it's free. You're listening to Illinois Public Media on WYL FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. We have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com.